Hallelujah. We know that we are sons of God. Sons of the Most High God. This is the gift from God the Father. This revelation we have today. So we know that as we behold Him, we are being conformed to that same image that He is. Oh, praise God. John the Apostle says that he that has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. See, those that have this hope, that is to obtain to the place of perfection in Christ. Those that have this hope to walk the way Jesus Christ walked. Those that have this hope, having heard this revelation of Christ, purify themselves as He is pure. They purify themselves as what? As He is pure. Oh, praise God. For any man that will present himself before the Father must be pure. For this reason, Paul writes to Timothy, or to Titus, his son, saying that that grace of God that is able to give salvation to the souls of men has appeared from heaven, teaching us to live godly lives. Oh, hallelujah. In this present age, while awaiting the manifestation of the Son of God in us, while awaiting the appearing of the mighty God and Christ Jesus. All this is an appearance that occurs through us, that manifests through us, we who purify ourselves and ascend into that consciousness, into the realization of the Son of God in us. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Paul further writes that this same grace of God has separated us from among the nations so that we can be pure and blameless and zealous of good works. Hallelujah, to the glory of God the Father. See it? He has brought us out of this world, washed us. Hallelujah. Regeneration by the Spirit of God. So that we can be presented in due season before the world. Perfect. Without guile. Hallelujah. Now most of us are very conversant with the story of David. David, the Bible says David, you know, sinned against God. We know how David, the beloved of God, the anointed one of God, David who could never hurt a fly, David who had so much chance to kill Saul, his adversary, many years earlier on, but refused to. He said, I will not sin against God by laying my hands on the Lord's anointed. Several times he had the opportunity to kill Saul while Saul was chasing him up and down in the wilderness. One of those examples, Paul and his servants, the king of Israel, Paul, can you imagine, and his whole entourage, his servants, the great generals, were all asleep. And Moses, and you know, David and co. entered into the camp unnoticed and exited that same camp and shouted across the divide saying, look, why do you chase me? Why do you burden me? Say, look, the Lord gave you into my hands. If I wanted to, I would have killed you. I would have simply killed you, but I would not lay my hands on the Lord's anointed. That shows the innocence of David. Oh, praise God. It shows the innocence of what? Of David. That is how he was in the days he walked, in the early days before he ascended the throne. But we see David suddenly doing something that was contrary to that same nature that made him king over Israel. Praise God. The Bible says that he lost it after Bathsheba, who was the wife of one of the common soldiers in Israel. And because he lusted and loved this lady, and he knew that she was married to this soldier, he sent this soldier to the front line of the battle so that he could lose his life. In other words, David committed murder. He deliberately committed murder just to gain the wife of Uriah, who was that soldier, common soldier. Oh, praise God. And there's a very mighty story hidden here. See it? He slayed Uriah by sending him to the battlefront, and at the end of the day, he took the wife of Uriah. And this was an abomination to God. God sent a prophet to him by the name Nathan to prophesy. See it? Nathan the prophet walked up to David and tells David, look, he gives David a proverb. Says a rich man and a poor man in a city. This poor man in the city had only a lamp, a little sheep, that was all he had, nothing else. A poor man. He had no riches, nothing, just a little sheep. That was all he owned. And there was this rich man who had plenty. But this rich man coveted the little that this poor man had. And what did he do later? The rich man, with his authority, snatched that sheep from the poor man. And when David heard this parable from Nathan the prophet, he was furious and said, who is this wicked person? Who has done this wicked act? Surely this person must, pay back a fourfold. He must pay back fourfold that sheep that he took away from the poor man. David was infuriated, not realizing that the parable was all directed at him. Praise God. It's a spiritual parable. It's a spiritual parable that applies to every man upon the face of the earth today. Every man that walks in the darkness of this age. Praise God. It's a spiritual parable. This is not just put in the Bible just like that. They are put deliberately for edification in the things that pertain to Christ and his kingdom. So what is the message that the Lord wants to pass over to us now? Praise God. We must try to understand this message that the Lord intends to pass to us with this message. See, you see the steps of transgression. See it, how the various steps, see, that lead to death. For we know that the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We see the systematical steps which David takes. You see it as he, descends from that state of integrity, that state of innocence that he once had in God. First of all, he lusts. See it? He lusts over another man's property. First of all, you have what they call lust. See, after the lust comes sin. He sets forth to kill Uriah and he covets his neighbor's property. See, after that comes forth death, because the consequences of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. See, all all this show the systematic, you know, decline from that innocent state that he once had into that becoming that of a murderer, one who was, you know, who had blood on his hand. Oh, praise God. See, while the kings were out there waging war, David was at home. That is why he saw the wife of Uriah. He was there at ease. Ease in his palace. Hallelujah. We talk about the state of ease in the flesh. See, when a man stops to become watchful, when a man is not spiritually alert, you open the door for the devil to begin to operate in your mind. That's why there is a saying that the idle man is the devil's workshop. Idleness caused David in the first place to begin to look down and lost. If he was out there fighting, he was out there busy fighting the war of the Lord, he would probably not have noticed another man's wife. Then from there comes the lusts. See it? And then from there comes all the sins, the lying, you know, the manipulations, you know, the covetousness, see it? And the murders, see it? The dishonoring Lord and all that. Once you break one commandment, you break all. Praise God. Hallelujah. Systematically, this is what every man in this age who lacks that salvation, that truth, the knowledge of truth, has gone through. We have all descended into this pitiable, you know, sinful state. That is why the Lord God has, in his mercy, has sent the Son to redeem us. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All men have sinned and fallen short of the life of God. For we know that no murderer has eternal life in him. See, no lustful person has eternal life in him. Praise God. The parable that Nathan the prophet gave David is a spiritual parable. A spiritual parable that, you know, kind of, it refers to how we have all deviated from that innocent lamp nature that is in us. For we know that the lamp that was slain from the foundation of the world is you and I, is our true innocent immaculate state in Christ. That is the lamp that was slain from the foundation of the world. Praise God. The moment a man is initiated into this system called the world, he loses that lamp state. See, the rich man talks of the flesh. He talks of your life in this world. Your human self-life. Your selfish life. See, and that life, it is the thing that chokes the lamp of God in you. See it. The inner man is the spirit. Is the poor man. Is poor in relation to this world. So you must understand the spiritual terms. Praise God. Anybody that seeks to be rich, that is rich in relation to this world, in this outer world, see it, without the power of God, cannot be held blameless. See it, sin came into this world through that desire in Adam. That lust, desire for the glories of this world, desire to acquire something for this world, desire to descend into this material mortal realm and to acquire riches and a name unto himself in this world. See, and as a man does that, he only loses his soul in the process. So you see, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All men have slain that lamp within them, that spiritual man within them, which is Christ. Because we are all generated perfect, we are all generated in the image and in the likeness of God, innocent, holy, pure, exactly the way he is. Praise God, many have entered into all kind of complicated situations. Now the grace of God is out there to pull us out. Hallelujah. Praise God. The moment David hears these words from the prophet, that he was the one who did such a thing, the moment David realized that this parable was referenced to him and what he did by sending Uriah to the battlefront to die, David repented. Praise God. David did what? He repented. And the word in this hour from the Spirit is that all men should what? Repent. Repent. Turn from your ways. Turn from your ways in the flesh and begin to walk right now in the truth once more. Oh, hallelujah. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from the lustful ways. Hallelujah. Forsake all unrighteousness and hold on to righteousness. Oh, praise God. Jesus Christ advocates that you have to lose your life in this world to gain me. To gain your innocence. To gain the lamp in you, which is Christ in you. To gain your true self back, the perfect, immaculate self, you must let go of all. And once more stand in the Spirit. Praise God. For the lamp of God is not of this world. The lamp of God is of the Spirit man. Praise God. So those who have this revelation must let go of all and begin to take a hold on truth. Praise God. That which corrupts us is our desire to gain the world. That which corrupts us is our desire to kind of acquire self-glory in this world. It's all about walking in the flesh. It's our association with the systems of men. Praise God. But now light is shining and God wants to redeem us out. See it. David went into a moment of prayers and fasting. David repented immediately. That's why we have this famous Psalm 51, which talks about creating me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Hallelujah. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence. Renew a right spirit within me. Teach me truth in my innermost being. Blot out my iniquity with hyssop. Cause me to be whiter than snow. Cause me to know the joy of my salvation once more. Cause me to be able to sing once more in your courts. David went on a 7 days fast. 7 days fast. He will not eat, he will not feed, he will not take his bath, he just laid down on the floor before the presence of God for 7 days. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Fasting and praying to be head on high. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because he lost that joy of his salvation. Praise God. Some of us today are depressed. Some of us are, troubled on all sides. Some of us have lost that joy that we once knew in the Lord. See it. Some of us just preach messages and just go about, but the joy is no more there. You see, there's no more reality of the presence of God in us. Everything has dried up. The waters have dried up. Some people have suffered horrors and many, many pains. See it, unspeakable pain and sorrow. Hallelujah. Some people can't remember what joy sounds like because of a sense of condemnation, a sinful nature. See it. They are trapped in a sinful nature. They are cast away from the presence of God. See, this is the world that does not know God. See it. The world today is cut off from the presence of God. See it. The world today is perishing constantly, going down constantly into the pit of destruction. For all those nations that are far away from God shall perish. This is what the Bible says. Not because God is killing anybody, but because you are cut off from the source of your life. Oh, praise God. Destruction and sorrow, pains. See it. Sorrows are multiplied for those who don't know that presence of God. Those who walk according to the course of this world, according to the vanity that is in your minds. See the lustful nature to acquire glory and to be seen of men and to be worshipped of men. Praise God, at the expense of your place in God's kingdom. What shall it profit a man if he gains his whole world and loses his soul? This is the question that we have to meditate on. And once you get this revelation of Mount Zion, once you get the revelation of the presence of God, once you get the revelation of God's kingdom, once you get the revelation of the inner courts of God, hallelujah, where joy and liberty in the spirit knows no bound, where the power of God is constantly present, hallelujah, where singing never fades away, where there is wild assembly and joy in the name of the Lord. If you get this revelation of that post, you begin to live all. You start this by fasting. Fasting and prayer. See, fasting and prayer goes much higher than just denying yourself food and water. But it's all about exercising yourself in the spirit. See, it's abstaining from the works of the flesh, abstaining from carnality, abstaining from your wicked thoughts, and putting on the thoughts of Christ, and exercising yourself in the spirit. This is what the fast is all about. See, I personally abstain from food at times. And I tell you, there are benefits in that type of fast. There are benefits in that type of fast. So never push aside a physical fast. There are benefits in it. At times you can be more concentrated. See, at times you can be more focused when you have less food in your stomach. So you should never put aside that physical fast. Praise God. It's not compulsory. There's no law. The Spirit has to lead you and teach you what to do. There's no way I can teach a fellow brother or that brother or impose my what I think on the other brother. No. It's the Spirit that will teach you. See it? Praise God. It's the Spirit that will teach you whether to eat food or not to eat food. Not me. I can't tell you that. Praise God. Isaiah says that a fast and prayer acceptable to the Lord is you speaking the words of God, doing the works of God. See, denying your own pleasures after the flesh and aligning yourself with God. See, and as you do these things, then shall your light come forth, break forth. Your health shall break forth speedily. Praise God. The glory of the Lord shall be your rare reward. See, you shall build the bridges of many generations. See, your wilderness state shall be turned once more into a garden of Eden, where there is singing and joy, where there is love and laughter. The Lord will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. He will liberate you from your bondages in the flesh and cause you to walk in the liberty of the spirit, free from a sinful nature, free from condemnation. Oh, praise God. See it. When you lay hold on the word of truth, see, deciding to unite strictly with the word of God, speaking the word of truth and continuing with the word of truth, that is your fast. Aligning yourself with the word of God, walking in the spirit, that is the fast. See, walking in the spirit is not as easy as people think. It's all about denying your ego, denying yourself, your selfish needs and all that stuff. Denying all. So that Christ, you know, has the upper hand in your life. So that the inner man begins to come forth and speak forth. Deny your lustful desires. Deny all your things that pertain to the flesh and begin to walk once more in the spirit according to truth. Speak my words. No more words of vanity. You see, this is Isaiah 58. See, break the yokes by speaking truth. Say it. Speak truth. Give the bread to the hungry. Instead of flesh from you. Praise God. Begin to feed yourself in the things of the Spirit. Begin to exercise yourself in the things of the Spirit. And begin to let go of the vanities of this age. See, when you enter into the fast, it's all about denying the lust of this age and carrying on in the Spirit. Continuing in the Spirit. Continuing in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you do this, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? The truth is Christ in you. The truth is that lamp nature in you, the innocent nature in you. Praise God. In fact, there is a case where Jesus Christ had, in one of his meetings, he met somebody who was possessed with a demon. And the disciples couldn't cast out this demon. And Jesus Christ told, the disciples that this type of demon comes out by prayers and by fasting. Praise God. That demon is the demon of unbelief. That the demon of darkness, of the flesh within man, that obscures the understanding of man and ties man to a sinful nature and delivers man constantly unto death. See, men are slaves to corruption. They are bound to a sinful nature. So, but when you begin to fast in truth, as the word comes to you, fast in truth, purify yourself by fasting in truth, speaking the truth, confessing the truth. See, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed, see it, in your very minds, by the word, by the Spirit, by spiritual understanding, by spiritual revelation. It will liberate you from all your fracas, your problems upon the earth. Some people are entangled with family problems, fight over property, fight over inheritances, disputes in the working places, disputes in the social circles, disputes in the political circles, and all these things all for the gain of this world. So, but when you begin to see the things of the Spirit and confess the things of the Spirit, your eyes begin to open to a new realm, eternal realm. See it, and the Lord has promised us that He will get us out of there. Praise God. This is how you fast. Fasting and praying, exercising yourself in the things of God. Exercising yourself in the things of the inner man, the spiritual man. Praise God. Paul says that those who are worthy to attain to that place, see it, they do not, how do I put it, associate with the things that pertain to this life. We should try to begin to loosen ourselves. This is what Paul says, loosen yourselves. See, all those things that entangle you in this world, loosen yourself gradually. And by patiently loosen yourself from those things upon the earth and begin to let go into the Spirit. That is your fasting and prayer. Oh, hallelujah. As you do these things, you realize the purity within you once more. You realize that satisfaction of righteousness within you. You realize once more the perfection and the beauty within you. Oh, praise God. You'll be able once more to approach, realize the presence of God, because the presence of God is always there. The presence of God is everywhere. It fills everywhere. Hallelujah. It fills the waters everywhere. If every single space, the presence of God is there. Praise God. But to know this thing, you must get back into the Spirit. See it. A sinful nature will not allow you to experience that salvation that is within you. Amen. A sinful nature will not allow you to realize that presence of God within you, because we know there's nothing unclean can approach God. See it. That guilty conscience cannot make a man stand before God. It's impossible. Not that God drives anybody. God does not drive anybody away. It is not in the nature of God to drive people away. But the sinful nature of man, the sin consciousness, the guilty nature is what creates a wall of separation between man and God and from God's presence. You know, people think that maybe probably God physically drove Adam out of the Garden of Eden. No. See, it's the conscience of Adam that drives him out. Of course, you think that God is driving you out, but it's only your conscience. See, God does not change. He's not like this today, tomorrow, and he changes. No, no, no. It's the conscience of man that drives away man. See, that's why in Psalm 51, David prays for a pure heart. Deliver me from blood guiltiness. Create in me a clean heart. Wash me. This is the purification by the Spirit as He teaches us day and night. Hallelujah. Day and night in the night seasons, speaking to us. Hallelujah. As we commune with Him in truth upon our beds, waiting and praying upon Him, watching and praying, He lifts us out of the mire clay. This is the salvation that we're talking about. Praise God. After the 7 days fast, the Bible says that what happens? The seed, that is the child that David had with Bathsheba, that is the adulterous seed that David had with Bathsheba, was what? Was killed. He died. He died off. See, that seed that we've had, that satanic seed that we've had in our union with the flesh, is destroyed totally. Hallelujah. For the Bible says that He is manifesting us to destroy the works of the devil. See, our existence in the flesh, or rather our flesh consciousness, our union in the flesh, is the work of the devil. And that is the problem of all mankind. That is the seed of sin. Remember Jesus Christ, when He sees the scribes and Pharisees, He says, "You brood of vipers, offspring of serpents." Why would Jesus Christ say this? Because in that nature that they walked in that consciousness that they walked in, they were walking actually after the flesh. See, in a sinful nature that is not of God. See, from the moment Adam sinned, bear in mind that he lost that license to be called son of God. What we see, that sinful nature Adam begins to exhibit, is simply a product of his union with the serpent. Bear that in mind. So symbolically, the baby of the seed, that first child that David had with Bathsheba, which is the seed of fornication, the seed of adultery, the seed of violence, the seed of, you know, blood, dies off. That is the flesh. Praise God. That is the victory that the Lord is giving His people today. That is the victory over the beast. That is the victory over the barrier between man and God. It's the flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. But God gives us the victory and causes us to awake to the by the power of the resurrection to the realization of the inner man, who is holy, who is perfect, who is just before God. That is the Son of God within you. That is the lamp of God within you. When David heard that the child was dead, the Bible says that David arose from the fast 7 days after, anointed, took his bath, anointed his head with oil, changed his garments, and entered into the temple of God to worship God. See, God gives us a new garment, garments of righteousness, garments of light, garments of perfection. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And what happens? He anoints us with the oil of joy and gladness once more, where we can once more access His presence in the inner court with shouts of joy and singing, hallelujah, before our God. Isn't it wonderful? This is what a fast is all about. This is the message behind that testimony of David and Bathsheba. See it? A true spiritual fast causes us to realize the inner man, which is Christ in us. Herein lies the salvation. Herein lies the appearing of the Son of God and the great God. Hallelujah. Because the Son of God, who is within you, is actually one with God. So as He appears, as He's made manifest, walking works of righteousness, declaring the beauty and the majesty of God in the flesh, is actually God manifesting in the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Create in me a clean heart. perfection, those who have hungered for righteousness shall be filled. See, we've received mercy, I received messages and, you know, a lot of letters from brethren, and I observed that the major concern of brethren is that probably they feel they are not progressing in their walk with God. They think they are not getting any holier. They think they are not getting any better. And I tell you, continue to hunger. Continue to confess Christ in you. Hallelujah. Continue to speak truth. Continue to fellowship with truth. Hallelujah. Continue there, day and night, seeking the face of God, standing in the Spirit, and walking in spirituality. You will realize the perfection that you are. You realize the beauty that you are. Hallelujah. You realize the Son of God in you. You have that victory over the old man of the flesh. The old seed of fornication shall be destroyed. Hallelujah. And you shall be cleansed totally. In reality, the cleansing comes all by realizing the truth. Because already you are pure. Already you are holy. But the obscurity, the dense obscurity of the human life, the human existence, the flesh, is what veils the beauty that you are. But he gives us the victory over the beast. He gives us the victory over that false seed. Praise God. This is the appearing of the Lord. This is the victory he's giving us in this hour. So let go. Stand your ground. Move on. Hallelujah. Continue on confessing truth. Hallelujah. Continue speaking Christ in you. Continue walking in the Spirit. Continue serving the brethren. Continue exercising love with the brethren. Continue with patience. Continue with charitable works. Continue. Don't worry about your bank accounts. Don't worry about something happening in the family. Your family member. Somebody is not well, or something happened to somebody the other day and all that. Don't let these things affect you. Praise God. Walk this walk unto the end. Continue confessing. And at the end of the day, you shall be that blessing to those people who are in problems now. Your child who has gone out of control, wayward, he will return back to the light when he sees the light in you. The one who has a health problem will be healed by the radiation of the light of the Son of God flowing far out of you. So concentrate first, seeking first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. We have to restore everything back to Christ. So begin to walk once more, not after this course of this age, seed, but to return back to the invisible. Praise God. This is the message in this hour. Hallelujah. When this is accomplished with you, you see what David prays. He says that, I will teach sinners of your way. I will turn many back onto the right path. See it. It comes spontaneously as you realize the beauty of what God is doing. Spontaneously, you become a life giver. Spontaneously, you cannot contain that abundance of joy and love and power that is in you. It just has to flow forth. Hallelujah. That's why the psalmist says, my cup overflows. Because he dwells in the house of God. See it. After the fast, after the confession, after the prayers, after David humbled himself, he entered back into the court of God to worship God. Those who dwell in that court, their cup overflows. You overflow with the beauty and with the abundance of the glory of God. That is what we heal your family members. That's what we heal those who have gone ahead of you. You become a light in your generation. That is what you should do. Just stand where you are. Stand where you are. Whatever you are in Africa or in America or in Europe or in Australia, whatever you are, just stand there and begin to confess Christ in you. Recognize the man in you. Hallelujah. Recognize truth. Speak truth. Receive truth. And walk in truth. A new day opens up. The beauty of the Lord becomes your portion. Oh, praise God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. Hallelujah. And renew that joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. It's all possible for those who wait upon the Lord. Amen.